please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 445. I'm Lisa Sheps. I am joined by Nicole Shiro.
Hello, solo.
Nicolone. And our new apprentice, Susie Sheeler. You are listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin and also KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. You're also streaming on KOOP.org. We'll be right back.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Look out, 'cause here I come.
It is Wednesday, December 27th, 2017. On the show today, we have the voices of Donny Hathaway. And later on in the show, we'll be talking to someone from Christmas Story, the musical, who's on the road and coming to Austin. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Detroit, and Ann Arbor, Michigan. Stick with us. Oh my God, it's chaos here.
Chaos.
Nicole, you're losing your headphones.
I know, they fell off me because it's chaos.
It's chaos. It's a little chaotic today already, right off the bat.
You know why? Why? Bon Jovi and you're living on the edge.
I am living on the edge. We just got a little chaotic. So that's how I feel today.
Holiday time.
We're missing
We held the mayo today.
We're holding the mayo. Nick Mayo is not here. He's out doing auditions for Summerstock Austin. Don't let this cold weather fool you. We're already preparing for Summerstock Austin.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So how are you, Miss Nicole Shiro?
I'm here.
You're here. You had a good Christmas? You had the Feast of the Seven Fishes?
I did have the Feast of the Seven Fishes. It was very good, but it was not the same without you. Just have to tell you
wasn't
that.
Wasn't there.
You were missed this year.
I was all fished out.
Yeah.
I had no fish.
Well, we had a lot of stuff besides fish. We made most of the stuff. A lot of good new stuff this year. It was yummy.
Well,
I'm still eating.
Well,
have more eating.
Excellent.
To do.
Keep eating. You know what? Here's what I typically do. I usually eat something every single day.
Overeating. Even more. Lots of eating.
That's true. So, let's introduce our new apprentice.
We got
Susie Sheeler here. How are you, Susie?
I am very well, thank you.
Well, you had to think about that, didn't you?
I did have to think about it because it's cold and cold, and I are sometimes.
It's both cold and cold.
It's cold and it looks like it might be wet later.
Yeah,
it might be. So so here you are. You're apprenticing here on Offstage and on the Air. You're relatively new to co-op, but you've been around for a few months. What kind of show do you want to do here on co-op?
LGBTQ community, but specifically for the L. I feel like lesbians aren't really represented very well in Austin, no. Texas, and so that's really my focus.
Good, and certainly we have a show here that deals with LGBTQ community, Outcast, which is on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock. But I think they could do with a little Elling.
Yes. I believe. Yeah. I agree with
you. It's a little too heavy.
We don't agree too often.
It's a little too, even on the pronunciation of the word often.
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 See, you're wrong and I'm right.
You say either.
And I say often. So, well, that's great. I agree with you. And I think that this station could do with a little bit of the L word.
Well, thank you.
Not to mention the T and the Q. And most importantly, I think the letter that gets the shortest shrift is the B.
I do too. And those are people that I would, the B needs to be represented as well as the trans community.
Yep. So for those that don't know, we've been talking about the lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans community. And the bisexual community within the LGBTQ community is often ignored as something that doesn't even exist, which is unfair. So Hamilton, Heard of that show?
Yep.
What?
Oh, wait. Oh, back to Susie. Sorry, we're not done with you. Oh. Do you have any theater? Is there any theater in your world, in your background?
Listen, she likes Grease too, so she likes musical stuff to me. Okay. I'm loving Susie right now.
Okay, I'm gonna ask that we let Susie answer that question.
I really like Grease too. I think Grease 2 is probably the best musical I've seen. I have not seen it live, but, you know, that's
I don't think it exists live, does it?
Well, it did. It did? Yeah, and I missed that. Oh. I missed it. I did get to see both Cats and West Side Story in London, which is not the best place to see West Side Story.
Really? No, I wouldn't think so, no. But it is the best place to see Cats.
It was pretty good. Cats was good.
You know, when you're a cat all the way.
That's exactly
from
right.
your first cigarette to your last dying.
And that's a long time when you're a
cat. You had 9 lives.
So speaking of the West End, this is perfect timing. What a great segue. Hamilton opened in London this last week. It did.
It had some reviews.
It did. It's a love story. London fell in love with it. Although we weren't sure because the...
Well, they had a lot of Michiganas happening before they opened, so...
They had Michigas happening?
Michigas, yes.
What Michigas?
Well, they had to delay the opening twice.
Oh,
they
had
ticket issues. There was a lot of stuff that went on.
So did you happen to see the Ham for Ham that they did?
No, I did not.
So they did a Ham for Ham that Lin-Manuel Miranda was part of, and they did this mashup of Hamilton songs and Britpop stuff.
Okay, that's
which is really
amazing.
Cool. I'm going to play just a little the bit of the very very top of it, so you can get an idea of what we're talking about. Let's listen.
I remember that night. I just might regret that night for the rest of my days. I remember those soldier boys tripping over themselves to win our praise.
So that, I think it was sort of fun. So the mashup goes from there, and the camera goes all through the theater.
I hope there's George Michael in there.
I don't know.
Well, there should be.
Maybe. George Michael himself, the singer, was not there, but perhaps some of his music was.
Well, he's passed.
He's dead.
He died on Christmas a year ago,
I don't know that he would have been there.
He wouldn't have been there.
You know, I am not a very good pop culture person, so I apologize. So
George
so
Michael
more
and I share a birthday.
Guess what? I happen to know that he was not in the show.
No.
There you go. God, I'm awful. But anyway, Ham for Ham. That is, there will be a link on our site, offstageonair.com. And then we'll do it. So there was a very interesting article in the New York Times about a lyricist by the name of John Latouche. Have you ever heard of him?
That's a great name, by the way.
John Latouche.
John Latouche. Who are you?
Have you heard of him?
Latouche.
I am Latouche. Have
Yo,
you heard
Latouche,
of him?
No. But I wish, because I feel like maybe I should, though, right?
Well, he wrote Candide, among other things.
Oh, okay. I do know the Candide.
Well, Candide, he was amidst many lyricists. Yes, Susie? You look like you want to say something.
The musical Candide.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
She's making sure she was in this conversation and it's to
true.
Win it.
No, Okay.
Yeah. So there's a new book about him, and he was a short-lived lyricist, and they sort of liken him to what would happen if Hammerstein had died at 41. You wouldn't know a lot of his work because he was just evidently
Candide's
genius,
a big piece of work.
But they said he had this book, which is called The Ballad of John Latouche. The Ballad of John Latouche.
Latouche!
Fills in the gaps between his liquor-soaked life and his career as a lyricist.
Well, I was about to ask what happened to him, but I think you might have summed
it
up.
Well, he had a heart attack at 41.
Well, I don't think his liquor-soaked life helped him with that.
Yeah. But he has two cult classics he did, a show called Cabin in the Sky, which is very interesting. It was... it was done in 1940, and it had an entirely African American cast, and by their words, a Negro cast, and it had music by Vernon Duke, book by Lynn Root and lyrics by John Latouche. And it was very interesting. This was brought up by George Balanchine.
Really?
Yep. And it involved, he tried to get other lyricists. He tried to get Ira Gershwin and Yip Harburg, but they both turned it down. And Latouche ended up doing it. But what they found very interesting is that the rehearsals were fraught because it said... I'll just read this. The rehearsals for the show were rather interesting between the Russian trio, which is Duke Balanchine and Boris Aronson, who designed it, and the all-black cast. They quote George Ross' description from the Telegram, "Pit a threesome of turbulent Russians against a tempestuous cast of Negro players from Harlem, and what have you got? Well, in this instance, the result is lingual ruckus approaching bedlam." So it sounds interesting. Some of the cast members from that were Ethel Waters, Todd Duncan, Rex Ingham, and other people. But he wrote that. He also wrote the lyrics for "Stand By," "The Ballad of Baby Doe," and "The Golden Apple." The Golden Apple and "Cabin in the Sky" were both encore shows in the past 2 years.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I'm like, why? Okay. Interesting. Latouche. Yeah. So I guess I know Latouche without knowing
so
his name.
So he was an unapologetic gay writer, speaking of the G and LGBTQ, in the 1940s. So he did unapologetic, brazenly gay cabaret songs in the 40s. So I found this an interesting paragraph from the review of this book. "Composers, especially adventurous musicians interested in experimental theater, were attracted to his musical instinct and lyrics that, while seemingly flat on the page, became pure magic when set to music. He knew what," Mr. Pollack said, quote, "he knew what word would go well with a dissonant note or a harmonic modulation. Composers like Ellington, Bernstein valued this enormously." Mm-hmm. So I think it's interesting. It didn't seem like on the page it didn't look all that good, but when you put it with the music, it was good.
Yeah, that's cool.
The other thing about Candide, so he was evidently had somewhat of a temper. Mr. Latouche. He did not, he has, so Candide had many lyricists and writers. But Latouche was not in any of the second act because Bernstein, Leonard Bernstein, fired him. Because he said, like many people in the theater industry, he found Latouche exasperating.
So
he also planned to write a show with Kurt Weill, but Kurt Weill wouldn't work with him because he was on.
Okay, that's kind of, I mean, when you kid, that's, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Whoa.
I know that was interesting.
That is
so
interesting.
That article, there's a link
so
on our
site. So there's a book out on him? Or?
There's a book out on him called The Ballad of John Latouche by, where'd the name go?
I'll look Latouche.
Howard Pollack.
I may have to read that. You know, yeah. I love me the biographies.
Well, who doesn't love me the biographies?
I love them. It's holidays. Good thing to read.
Yeah.
I mean, I can watch some more Romancing the Stone and Jewel of the Nile, but wow. Why?
But also
not
check
when I
check
read?
check the Wikipedia page for Cabin in the Sky. It sounds fascinating. I was hoping to get some music from it, but I
was going to say, is the music available?
Could not find it.
Interesting.
So another thing I sort of wanted to talk about, and I don't know what happened to the page that I had, but did you see the thing in Playbill about the viral videos, Broadway viral videos?
No, I did not.
It's kind of cute. Some of them were sort of silly, but one of them I thought was really funny. But one is this this kid, Luke Chacko, on Ellen DeGeneres' show, singing Let It Go for Idina Menzel.
Oh, I saw
adorable.
Him.
Adorable.
And he like really sings. She just lets him keep going. I was in Garland on her tour. I think it was taken, I think it was in
Oh,
Garland.
Yeah, I think so. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, he made me cry. He was funny.
So yeah, so that was good. And then another one was the riff off between James Corden and Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Saw that, and I watched a little bit of it again this morning. And
the kid with Idina was funny.
Yes, and then a third one was there's a YouTube performer named Miranda. Do you know this person?
No.
Have you? Oh my God. I almost pulled off a clip, but I don't think it really translates for audio only.
Got it.
She wears lipstick that's lined outside of her lips, big bright red.
Oh, wait, I believe I do know what you're speaking of. Her name is Miranda.
Yeah. Well, so she does all these videos, and she did all of Hamilton in 5 minutes.
Oh yes, yes, I saw. Yes,
and she
yes.
doesn't, and she's singing along with the cast album, but doesn't know the words like all of us if we were to sing along with the cast album. And it was funny. But the funniest part to me was her intro when she was describing what Hamilton was, and she clearly doesn't have a clue.
Yes.
Another one was Andrew Keenan Bolger and Jay Armstrong Johnson singing 16 Going on 17 for the Upside Down Broadway.
Oh, Louisa from the movie just passed this week.
Yeah.
She did?
Yes.
Yeah. I was just looking her up the other day. I thought she had passed a while ago.
No, she had cancer. It was just like 2 or 3 days ago.
Maybe it was like the day before Christmas or Christmas Eve.
And for those that don't know, we're talking about Sound of Music.
Sound of Music. She was 68, 69.
And by Louisa, you meant Liesel.
Liesel, sorry.
Yeah. Louisa is I don't know why I said Louisa.
That's not even a name or I really ever say. I don't have no clue why that came out of my mouth.
Because you were thinking of the Fantastics.
That was it.
That was exactly.
So in this case, Andrew Keenan Bolger played the Liesel part.
Yes.
And Jay Armstrong Johnson, who I did not know before. He's got mostly, he does some Broadway. Never did anything, he hasn't originated a role yet, but he's done quite well. He did films and television. Do you know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
What a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really beautiful.
And like, isn't it lovely when you know these actors from film or TV and you're like, they're really good actors, and then all of a sudden they open their mouths and you're like, whoa, you've had that hidden all this time? I love that. That gets me excited.
Yep, me too. And the fourth one was Jasmine Rogers singing Easy as Life from Aida. And she was another Texan. And she sang on the Jimmy Awards.
I love Aida.
Jimmy Awards, for those locally that listen, know it's the national version of the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards. And I cannot pronounce her name. She's in Miss Saigon right now. Anyway, the lead in Miss Saigon was discovered when she won the Jimmys.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And I forgot her name. So
yeah, I forgot it too. I just wanted to say Leah's name, and that was like how many long ago.
Yeah. And the last one they're recommending for a viral video was James Corden's Sidewalk Broadway.
His Broadway Sidewalks, which one? Because they were
this
was
one
a
specifically
good
one. Was Crosswalk the Musical Series. This one's several. It's just basically all of them.
Okay, because I was about to say, I don't know if I could pick
one of
the...
Got a new one that he just did in New York City, which is...
I didn't see that one yet.
I haven't seen it, but it
they
just...
make... The Crosswalk musicals make me laugh my hiney off.
They're pretty funny.
Yes, they are.
They're pretty funny. Now I'm going to try to switch and read from my computer, because... So one of the things that I forgot to, or was not able to talk about last time was, you know, the to bring us into the political realm, which we like to go to.
Yes.
The Alabama's new senator, Doug Jones.
I was like, Jug Jones, that's Jug a great
Jones.
Name.
He's got a theatrical past.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like Shakespearean.
He appeared as the judge in a production of To Kill a Mockingbird in Birmingham, Alabama in 2013.
It's about the law and theatrics.
It was done at the Virginia Stanford Theater.
I bet that went over well.
So there you go. Yeah, I bet you it did. it was staged for the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Movement.
Oh, interesting.
Directed by Jack Mann, and Atticus Finch was played by Rodney Clark. Now, you know Rodney Clark.
Yeah, wait, really?
Yeah, that's Mr. and Mrs. Clark's little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How he's grown into a fine young man.
He has. But so that's, I think, I'm going to guess that you can go through, I'm going to say probably more the Democratic side than the Republican side, and probably find a theatrical past in most of these people. What do you think?
Ted Cruz has one.
I was about to say.
Does
he?
Yes.
You know
really?
That for a fact?
Samantha Bee likes to play this clip of him saying, "Why am I so persecuted?"
Oh, yeah. But that was that from a theater show?
Yes.
Oh, I have seen that.
Yeah, interesting.
That's him playing a part.
Ah, see, we learned something from our apprentices.
He's terrifically persecuted, if you hadn't noticed.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to shake it up a little bit today because our Our guest has not arrived in the studio yet. So we're going to get to that, but we're going to take a little break right now.
Okay.
And then we're going to come back and talk some more. Okay. So let's listen to a little bit of, oh, you know what? I lied.
What?
Remember I said I couldn't find anything from Cabin in the Sky? I'm going to play something from Cabin in the Sky.
Oh, you really did lie.
Totally
that was like blatant lie to our face not try to hide it.
Yes. This is a song called Life's Full O' Consequences.
Oh, well, you know there are consequences for lying.
So this is from Cabin in the Sky. We'll be right back.
Life's full of consequences.
We are back. You're listening to Off Stage and On the Air on KOOP HD1, HD3. I'm here. I'm Lisa Sheps. I'm with Nicole Shiro.
Just me.
Just Nick. The hold the mayo.
Shiro, no and... mayo.
Are you done?
No.
And Susie Sheeler.
Hello.
Hello.
Like I needed drums like the Olympics.
Dong, 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 dong. All right, two things. First, we'll just do this live on the air. Susie, I would like you to please choose a number between 2 and 53. You cannot choose 3, 27, or 37.
Or 33.
So any
or
number.
Or 33, any but those four. Anytime now.
But you could tell us.
Yeah, number. You have to say it out loud.
Oh, okay. 16.
16. Okay, 16, great. We'll see what that is a little later.
Okay.
She's like, I'm with the loons today. Hello.
I completely forgot to talk about what I wanted to talk about. So did you recognize the very first song that I played?
Oh, I don't remember anymore what you played, so I could have recognized it but didn't remember.
And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to play it right now so we can get an idea.
Okay.
So let's just listen to this for just a second.
Look out, cause here I come.
Oh, yeah.
Do you recognize it?
Yeah, it's you. It's Greatest Showman.
It's Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
So, I went to see it.
Did you? When,
yes.
Yeah?
Did any, has any, have either of you seen it?
I haven't gone to see it. No. And?
I liked it.
Did you like it a lot?
I did. I liked it a lot.
Because I feel like I'm going to like it a lot.
I find it interesting that you knew that song. How did you know that song?
I've been listening to a lot of the songs. You can get, that's like the theme song of the movie, the hit, the number one hit.
That song is sung by the bearded woman.
Yes, and it's the theme song of the movie. They've had it on the Today Show and everywhere.
Just quiet, please. In the movie, it happens in the middle.
Right.
So it's not, I mean... As the movie itself, it's not. I didn't look at.
There's
it as a
always
theme song.
One song from a movie that they tout as the theme song, and that's what they're using in their marketing scheme as the theme song of the movie.
I have never heard that before. I did not know that as a thing.
It's on the news.
Didn't. Well, there you go. Now I learn something every single day here.
If Hoda and Kathy tell you, isn't it true?
Yeah,
they're always drunk.
I know. That's what's so great.
Anyway, so yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked that song specifically because it really talks about acceptance.
She rocks too.
Did you see the clip from her?
God, yeah.
She is an amazing performer. And there's a lot of just amazing performances in this thing. And I liked
interviews too. They had a. I watched a group interview with Hugh and Zach and her and three or four other castmates. She's just so wonderful to watch in her interviews too, and has been so humbled by the experience. And I'm excited to see it. Yeah, she rocks.
Yeah. So I went to that was
Nick
my
knows her.
That was my Jewish Christmas day.
Oh,
you don't know what Jewish Christmas is?
No.
Yeah.
You don't know what Jewish Christmas
I'm
is?
Kidding. Of course I do.
Tell people what Jewish Christmas is.
When you go to the movies. And did you order Chinese
food? Yeah.
Did you get it?
Yep.
Yeah.
So am I Jewish?
You know, nowadays everybody, many many people celebrate Jewish Christmas.
Okay.
But back in the day, not so much. It was really just it's packed.
Yeah,
it's hard
I know.
To
is
find.
That when you walked 5 miles uphill in the snow to school?
It is
barefoot both ways.
Both ways. So the reason why I remembered to play the Hugh thing is that when we went on break a second ago, Nicole looked at me and she said, I want to know what you thought of Pitch Perfect 3.
Because I knew you had your tickets for last
Wednesday,
right?
I saw it last Thursday.
Last Thursday, okay.
No, it's Thursday. I saw it and I...
You didn't like Rebel Wilson and her kung fu?
You know, I feel that they kind of jumped the shark. I will say this, though. I felt similarly when I saw Pitch Perfect 2.
But now you're in love with it.
After watching it 100 times on cable. So I'm hoping I find that love again when it reaches out to cable. But it was less singy and dancey this time. I didn't think it was as fun.
Interesting.
No, Ben Platt.
No.
No, Skylar Astin. No.
But your girl's in it. You love your Anna. I know, but none
of the normal men were in it, and that was sort of sad to not see any of the guys that we'd grown to love. And that other guy, I can never remember his name.
He's in the middle.
You know who I'm talking about? He plays Rebel Wilson's love interest.
Yeah, but I can't ever remember his name either.
And he was also in Modern Family.
Yeah, but I can't ever remember his name either. Yeah.
Do you know who I'm talking about, Susie?
Was he in or is in?
He's no longer a character.
He hosts the MTV Music Awards or Video Awards too. He's that, yo, God, his name's killing me. I can see him.
Somebody will come up with it and text us.
Yeah.
So I was a little disappointed. Again, not as musicy as they've been in the past. But so that's kind of sad. But
well, my brother, I played some Straight No Chaser Holiday this Christmas season, and my brother fell in love with them. He's like, "Who is this group?"
Love Straight No Chaser.
And I said, "We have had them on the show before when they toured over at the Long Center. It was like 8, 9 years ago.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah.
But yes, my brother discovered, he goes, I think he loves Mannheim Steamroller during the holiday season. So like he opened up his heart to a little Straight No Chaser this year.
A little a cappella.
Oh, good.
A little acapella. And speaking of that, the Philharmonic is part of the Corden Neil Patrick Harris Riff Off. Which Riff Off is taken directly from Pitch Perfect 1, and the Philharmonic was in Pitch Perfect 1. So it all comes back.
That's why I brought it up. I thought it was a great moment right now to bring it up.
You did a good job.
I was keeping it a cappella.
You keeping it a cappella. Excuse me?
What?
So that was good. And speaking of, what's her name? Anna?
Kendrick?
No. No. Camp is her last name. First, anyway, married to Aston Schuyler from Pitch Perfect, blonde.
Oh, she was the nemesis. Anna Camp.
Yeah, Anna Camp. She had a bigger role in Pitch Perfect 3 than she did in Pitch Perfect 2. So that was nice. But one of my favorite actresses, I don't know her name, but she plays, I forgot the character. She's this ditzy sort of sex maniac character. And she was, she had a very minor role in Pitch Perfect 3, and that made me sad.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
End of the story. So that's my said, did either of you see any of the Christmas movies? Any of the latest ones?
Go to the theater? No, yeah. I watched really old movies I haven't watched in 20 years.
Yeah,
we got that list before. Yeah, no, yeah. I was just reliving all that.
Okay. So are we ready to see what track 16 is?
I am interested in what 16 is.
I have no idea. Let's listen. Are we on one headphones? Good. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Caressa Cameron, Miss America 2010, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM.
Caressa Cameron,
which funny is, she never, since you redid this recently, we used to get her all the time, but now she's a new number, and apparently we keep getting, which she just
keeps popping up.
Miss America wants to remind us.
She just pops up.
2010, it was happening.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there you go. Let's go on to the next one. Oh, this is another thing that I really liked. Three Amigos, the musical. Anybody?
Can I just tell you? That's so right? Isn't it kind of just so right?
It is, but so that seems to be just a great idea for a musical.
Amazing idea for a musical. Should they cast the right people?
Exactly. It's going to be dependent upon...
That's going to be the kicker.
Because that's the only reason why that film worked.
Yeah, you could write the greatest thing on earth, and if you don't cast the right people in it... But I could see in my head some good people like Rob McClure. He would be a good person.
He would be a good person.
Yeah, his comedic timing and... Mm-hmm. I could think of some. Can they make it happen? But yes.
So did you... do you know who wrote... the music for that show?
I don't remember. I was surprised. But I don't remember, to be honest with you.
It's Randy Newman.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah. And are you surprised by that, though? Really?
I'm surprised.
He's kind of a waka guy.
He is. But here's what I think. I always thought that My Little Buttercup, the song,
yes,
was a standard, like old from like the 20s and 30s. But no, it was written for that movie.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
Yeah. Doesn't it sound like one of those songs?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You Are My Sunshine?
Yeah.
It does.
Anyway, so, but he wrote three of the songs, the original songs for us. So he wrote the Ballad of the Three Amigos, My Little Buttercup, and Blue Shadows. I don't remember Blue Shadows. But I think it would make a good musical.
You know, with all my old movies I've been watching, that is not one that popped up for me to watch. But I would love it. I'm going to jazz hand the cable network universe. That it
there
just
you go.
Appears we've on got, my options.
We've got jazz hands happening in
I
the
think
studio.
To work.
That just made me happy.
Yeah. So here's another thing I want to talk to, and I wish Nick Mayo were here. I've been meaning to talk about this for a couple of weeks because Nick Mayo will find the positive in everything. When I come in wanting to like trash something, he is there with the positive angle on it. But you know how I feel about the cheapness of standing ovations these days, right?
Yes.
So the standing ovation has no meaning anymore.
That it just happens.
Because it happens
it's
almost
applause.
All the
it's
time.
Not a standing ovation. It's just everybody stands up before they leave and claps.
So here's something I've never understood.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been meaning to ask this question on the air for years.
Okay.
Why do we clap at kick lines?
Oh.
Why is that applause
Have
worthy?
You tried a kick line?
There's so much stuff that has happened. I also don't believe tapping at wings or clapping for wings is worthy because every dancer that is a trained dancer knows how to do a kick line. I'm not saying it's not difficult.
Now
but
it depends on the kick line.
Also, a really good time step is difficult. But there is not all you have to do, and it doesn't even have to be a good kick line. You just need to get into a kick line.
No, I haven't seen claps for cruddy kick lines.
Every single kick line I've ever seen.
Now, I mean, I'm sorry, but when those Rockettes and those legs are going and it's been 5 minutes,
I'm not talking Rockettes.
Not clap.
But so, no, you have seen it because you saw Something Rotten. And there was a kick, I think it was Something Rotten that there was a kick line.
There was a kick line.
And there was applause. There was.
Yeah, but that was like 10, 15 minutes into the number and then they did a giant kick
line. That's huge. It happens every time. And my question is, why is that applause worthy?
It's exciting.
Okay.
Well, it's big.
Good.
It's a stage
You're playing
moment.
Nick's role for me because I don't
since
get it.
The 10s and 20s. Like
I know.
It's
and so,
that waka waka. It's a kick line.
Yeah, I don't.
Kick. If you kick right now, I may not give you an applause.
I do not feel that way
you'll
about it.
Stand up.
I'll stand up.
I will repeat one last time. It's hard to have control of the room today.
You wanted a positive spin, and I have no problem with the clap. Yeah. I have not seen.
So then you also,
an
I'm assuming,
unearned clap at a kick line. I have seen the unearned standing ovation.
Oh, I've seen. I think every kick line, with the exception of perhaps the Rockettes, because when there's like 50 girls doing it across the stage.
It's like a Busby
that
Berkeley
looks pretty
movie.
Cool.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
Every other kick line and every single one of them gets applause.
No, Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders deserve one, and I don't like
I'm
the
not
Cowboys.
I'm talking about theater. Well, don't.
That is theater.
Okay.
Football and theater.
So, I don't find them quite applause worthy. And I don't find wings quite applause worthy either.
No, I've never
either.
Seen
every single
applause
time,
on wings.
You'll notice
I'm
going to
notice
time.
Every single time,
people will applaud on wings. And wings, by the way, for those that don't know it, is a tap step where they
it's like
basically
snow angels.
It's like snow angels, exactly
in the air.
It's like snow angels horizontally, vertically.
Yeah.
So
it's
the other thing
angel.
That always happens when the belter is coming out doing usually it's the 11 o'clock number, and she holds a note. She sustains a note which is written in the music. She'll get applause. And every belter can do this. Why is that?
Well, the people in the audience can't. So they're clapping
people
because
in the audience
they're impressed.
Can't do, okay, but the people
and they paid the money.
The people in the audience can't do any of the stuff these people are doing.
They probably some of them could hold a tune, but probably not belt a note that long.
Yeah. It's like asking why people applaud a sword swallower. I mean, any
well,
sword
no, but that sword
swallower
that's do it. So that. When a sword swallower does it and they take applause, that's the equivalent of the button of the number. That's what they're doing. So at the end of the number, when they go bum bum and everybody throws their hands out,
that's called ta-da
applause. So that's why you would do that. So
okay.
Anyway, I just find it interesting. And
so if they added a ta-da at the end of their note, would that work?
Kick line was the end of the number. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I would applaud for that.
Anything goes. I mean, they tap that number 15 minutes. They do the kick line. They tap. Anything goes. You're darn straight I'm going to be clapping and hooting.
You know
if
what?
It's good.
You're gonna,
that's the thing.
But
if
that,
it's
but
good.
It doesn't have to be good. Everybody, it always gets a clap. It could be three guys drunk on the...
you're lumping people into one group.
Here's something else. I've not seen a kick line where there wasn't applause.
Busting your chops, Lisa.
The other thing that we'll disagree with, well, maybe we won't.
What?
I'm not crazy about Anything Goes.
Oh, I love that musical.
Not crazy about it. All right. So that's that. And let's... here's what we're going to do.
I remember that. We went and saw it on the tour recently, and you didn't. I didn't like Kathleen Marshall's choreography in this tour. But I love the show.
So here's the deal. We had a guest scheduled for this time, and I'm just going to talk a little bit about the show. It happens to be a Ground Floor Theater co-production with Robert King Jr. Entertainment. It's called The Voices of Donny Hathaway. Donny Hathaway was a singer who died on January 11th. Committed suicide, excellent singer, and died too early. And I believe he was in Harlem. I was really hoping she would be here to talk. Our guest was going to be Simone Murray, who's in the show. It's being done at Ground Floor Theater on the 12th and 13th of January.
Oh, interesting. Around the anniversary of everything.
Yeah, because I believe he killed himself on the 11th of January. And the show supposes what his set list would have been for his very last performance.
Oh.
So you can get information for that at the groundfloortheater.org website.
So is it performed kind of like a Lady Day?
I have not seen any of the rehearsals, but I believe so.
Interesting.
So the good news is, if you want a taste of it, Ground Floor Theater is having a little meet and greet on January 5th. And they're going to perform that night.
Oh.
So that would be something to see as well. Again, all that information at groundfloortheater.org. It is written by Robert King Jr. and directed by John Christopher and performed by Robert King.
I was just about to ask, did he write this? Is this original?
He did. He wrote it. And also Simone Murray is in it. And so that's...
That'd be cool.
That's something that folks... can look at if they want to. So with that, what we would have played on our way out, if I can re-cue this thing up.
You mean what we will play?
What we... That's true. What we will play. I'll pretend like I'm wrapping up, shall
okay.
we? Okay.
I'll give you applause.
No,
hold on. You want a standing ovation?
Don't want applause. Damn. All right. Here we go. We're going to pretend like Simone just finished. That was Simone Murray. She's in... Robert King Jr. Entertainment and Ground Floor Theater's production of The Voices of Donny Hathaway, performing January 12th and 13th at Ground Floor Theater. For more information, you may visit groundfloortheater.org. We'll be right back.
I've been so many.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Just Shiro, no mail.
And Susie Sheeler.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Hey.
Okay. We actually are running short on time now.
Shocking.
Shocking.
You're always like, I don't know if we have a lot of time today.
I'm worried about,
I don't know why you ever worry about
us
chatting.
We got to talk a lot. Just locally, I've been meaning to talk about this for a while, and we still have a little bit more time. Most Christmas shows are done for the season, but Georgetown Palace Theater is doing two shows. They're doing Christmas Carol, and they're doing Santa Land Diaries, because Zach is not doing it this year.
No,
I don't know if that's why they're doing it, but coincidentally, Zach is not doing it. But Leslie Heathcox is doing it over there, and we love Leslie. He's awesome sauce. So we have you have another weekend to check out that, and I believe it's georgetownpalace.org. And I hadn't been onto their website in a while. They now have... they have two stages. They have a little black box.
Yes.
I don't know how long they've had that black box.
Earlier this year, I think, when I watched telling us that we've been living under a rock for a while. True.
I graduated from Georgetown High School.
Did you? Did you ever go to Georgetown Palace Theater?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
It's a great little space.
Used to be our movie theater.
Oh, I love it.
Well, their upcoming production in February is, and I think you were talking about this, Nicole, MAME.
Ah. Yeah.
So also a little Christmas section in that,
there
in that
show.
There's
a little Christmas section in that show.
And... oh my gosh, Michelle Chaney is playing Mame.
Oh.
And oh God, who's playing Gooch? I know Kurt Kelso's in it.
Liz, when Mom was here last week, we were sitting here talking. She saw the original Mame on Broadway, and we were just sitting there talking about. We had a lot of Mame references last week. That's so funny. And so, it's not one that comes up all the time.
It isn't. It's not done a lot.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump right into Today in Theater History.
Today in theater history. What happened?
Today in theater history.
What happened, Lisa?
Well, in let's just start in 1926.
Ooh.
Richard Rodgers.
Who's that?
Teamed up with Lawrence Hart.
Oh,
did you know this?
Rodgers and Hart. Yes, I do.
Peggy Ann.
Yes.
It ran for 333 performances. And it's rarely revived. I've never seen it, nor know anything about it.
No, but there's some... Morosis would sing a lot of songs from that. Morosis loves the Rodgers and Hart.
There you go.
Combo.
Great
songs to choose for cabarets.
There you go. And then the next year, Showboat.
Oh.
No, which
27?
Is
27, really?
Yep, 1927.
Whoa.
Yep. And so that was good. 1945, there's a show called Home of the Brave. It had 69 performances. I did not know it. It's Arthur Lawrence. It was a war story. It had a lot of critical, they made a lot of money on it. So this was Home of the Brave. It's a war story during the war.
Yeah, I feel like I know something, some cool story about it, but I don't remember it offhand, so I can't share.
Yeah, now this is one we've talked about before. This is the show Subways Are for Sleeping.
Yes.
Julie Stein, Betty Comden, and Adolf Green.
Yes.
Did it. Now,
another one, Morosis loves the Comden and Green.
This is one we talked about because, and this is another one I wish Nick were here because this is a David Merrick production.
Yes.
And this was one of his more infamous things. He got slammed by the critics. So he got a whole bunch of homeless people with the same names as the critics. And he quoted them on the poster.
So genius. I don't even know what to tell you.
Oh,
and it's so wrong.
Oh, you know what? They're not hired. Like, they were not homeless. I'm sorry. I was thinking something else. But it just other people with the same
name. It doesn't matter.
Names.
It's still like, it's so wrong. It's right. I don't know.
Phyllis Newman was introduced. That was her debut. And she won a Tony Award for it.
That was her debut?
A Broadway debut.
Interesting.
Yeah. So this one I just want to talk about. In 1965, this is a Peter Brook staging of a Peter Weiss show called, are you ready? This is the title.
What year is this? 65?
65. Here's the title. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The Persecution and Assassination of Jean-Paul Marat is performed by the inmates of the Asylum of Corinthian under the direction of the Marquis de Sade.
Mm-hmm.
Someone also known as Marat Sad.
Someone did that show here not too long ago, Lisa, in the last
It won the
few
Tony
years.
For best the best play.
Yeah.
And there's no acronym for that?
Marat Sad.
I was like, Lisa, I'll give it to you.
Yeah. No, couldn't. So this, your boys, Candor and Ebb.
Yeah.
Their movie, film adaptation of Chicago, opened on this date in 2002. This is the anniversary of the death of Susan Sontag.
Really?
Yep. Mm. And this was also the world premiere. It's amazing how much stuff went on.
During Christmas week.
During this week. We've got nothing. Diner. Cheryl Crow did the music for it.
Yeah.
Diner. Kathleen Marshall directed it. Starred Whitney Basher, Josh Grazzitti, Derek Klina, and Adam
But it was
Cantor.
Just a reading. It hasn't been done full.
No, it was a...
out in L.A.
Sorry, it wasn't in New York. It was a Virginia Signature Theater.
That's why I'm like, they haven't brought it to New York yet.
Yeah,
so.
It's not in New York. Well, there you go. This is also, and I did not realize it has been this long, this is the anniversary of the death of Carrie Fisher.
It's been a year.
Yeah, because I know why, because she died 3 days after George Michael, and right. I was like, I'm traumatized.
And her mom died like the next day.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. So we've got to take a break. We're so late on time, so we'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to you're listening to Offstage and on the Air on KOOP. I'm here, Lisa Sheps. I'm here with Miss Nicole Shiro and Susie Sheeler.
Hello.
Hello. Nicole's being quiet because we're running so late. So we're going to run right into this interview with Chris Karsten, who is in the touring company of A Christmas Story, which is going to be playing at the Long Center in the next couple of days. Well, here it is. Hey, well, I am lucky enough to have by telephone Chris Karsten. He plays Gene Shepherd in the touring production of A Christmas Carol, the musical. And Chris, you're somewhere in the wilds between Jackson, Mississippi and Austin, Texas right now, aren't you?
That is correct.
Well,
I should correct you. It's A Christmas Story, the musical, not A Christmas Carol.
What? Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm okay. Working without notes, and I should never, ever do that.
That's happened before, though. Previous people mistake it for, or they, if it just slips out and they don't realize it, but that happens. It's totally understandable.
Well, you know what it is? It is the season. So I am sorry. A Christmas Story, the musical. And a lot of people will know this show from the movie. And more people know about the musical because of the live version that just took place. But why don't you tell folks like me that may be too old to know the movie what the story is?
Well, it's a story, and it's kind of different. It's not your standard Christmas fare. It was a film that came out in 1983, and it didn't have a lot of critical success back then. But over the years, it's built up a substantial following. To the point where the holidays, they do a marathon of it every Christmas. On Christmas Day, it's just running all the time on one of those cable networks. You tune in and watch it whenever you want during the day. And it's the story of a young boy that wants a certain Christmas present for Christmas. He wants to get a Red Ryder BB gun, and he goes through all these different scenarios in his mind of how to get his parents to get him this present for Christmas. And it has such appeal, because it's really kind of universal. Everybody's probably had a present that they really wanted, especially when they were a kid, and they kind of went through the ringer to get it. And Ralphie Parker is the character's name, and my character narrates his story as if he were Ralphie grown up. And he's recalling his childhood when he wanted this Red Ryder BB gun and all of his imaginations that he would have. If this doesn't happen, then this is going to happen. I got to do this to get this. I got to convince my parents to see this or do that. He goes through all these hoops to try and get the present of his deepest desire for Christmas, which is that Red Ryder BB gun.
Go ahead.
No. There's a lot of memorable other scenes in the show that over the years people come to expect when they come to see the show, when they come to see our show. Like getting your tongue stuck to the pole, and
that just happened to me yesterday. Yeah, so I can relate.
You got your tongue stuck to a pole.
Yeah, it just happened yesterday. It's really unfortunate. And you have animals in this show.
We do. We have a couple of live bloodhounds. Like as I said before, I ride a lot with the trainer, the dog trainer. From city to city. Sometimes I'll half ride with him because he has his own car, and he transports the dogs from venue to venue. And there are a couple of beautiful bloodhounds that are well-trained, and they've been doing the show with us for the past few years, and they're wonderful.
Right, so this is actually your fourth year to do it, correct? Or your fifth year?
Fourth year.
And are these the same bloodhounds that have been with you all 4 years?
One of them is. We had a different bloodhound a couple of years ago, but he passed away suddenly.
Mm.
So they had to get a replacement hound.
Did the replacement learn the lines fast enough?
He was perfect out of the gate.
Off book from day one.
Yeah, he's a puppy. He's got all the energy and enthusiasm that we're looking for, and he's reliable. He does look after them, show in and show out. They both do. They're really terrific.
Awesome. So now, as you mentioned, you're playing the Ralphie, more or less Ralphie as an adult.
Yeah.
And Gene Stapleton is actually the name of the person that wrote the book, or this is based on the book he wrote, or the story he wrote.
Gene Shepard. Gene Shepard, yeah.
Did I say Gene Stapleton? Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Everybody's heard of Gene Stapleton, too.
That's true. Archie.
And Gene Shepard wrote the story, and the guy that did the movie heard him on the radio and heard these stories. So we got to turn this into a film. And he was able to get the backing to do it and turned it into this wonderful, quirky little Christmas story that is terrific that millions tune into every Christmas to watch.
Great. And were you a fan of the film before you took on this show?
I was, absolutely. And it's odd because I tell this story. The first time I ever saw the movie, I heard this voiceover going on, and it really intrigued me. I thought, that's hilarious. This person that you can't see is making all this commentary as we're seeing the story unfold before our eyes. And it's just ironic to me that that's the part I ended up playing on stage. You know, so the part that first stuck out to me was that narration. And I'm just happy to be able to get to play that part.
So you got the role of a lifetime. You can retire.
Yes, indeed.
So, as we mentioned, you've been on for 4 years, and I'm not very good at math. This closed in New York in 2013 or 2014. So, have you been on the road? Have you done this every season since it's been on the road?
Yeah, just during the holidays, though.
Right, right. So there was some.
From I come out to New York in October, and we rehearse, and we finish up at the end of. December 31st is pretty much the same every year, and then we go our separate ways and come back and do it again.
Right. So actually looking at your schedule, so you're closing the show here in Austin.
Yeah.
And you have been, we're actually the furthest west you went this year.
This time, yes.
That's sort
We've
of interesting.
Been further west in previous years, but this year the furthest west is going to be Austin.
Austin, Texas. Have you been here before?
I have never played Austin, but we were in Dallas. Couple of years ago.
Not the same thing, Chris.
No, not the same thing.
Not the same thing by a long stretch. I think you'll enjoy Austin.
I know we will. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, so have you done your research? Do you know what you want to do when you're here?
I have not done my research yet, but I'm sure, you know, we have a little city sheet that our company manager puts together to give us some ideas. And I'm sure I'll find some things to do. I like to play golf, so I'll probably get out and play a round of golf while I'm in Austin.
It's a little chilly. Bring your coat and your mucklucks.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be a little nicer on Friday. It's going to get in the 50s on Friday. You can golf in that weather.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So tell us about the rest of the cast. Is this a cast and crew that are there other people that have been with the show from the beginning, or does it change
every
year?
We have mostly new people. We've got a couple. Our dance captain's also the swing.
Uh-huh.
She's been doing it all 4 years. And she's a valuable cog because she kind of teaches the choreography and keeps the show in shape while it's out on the road.
Sure.
Make sure all the dance steps are, dance steps and blocking are being visualized the same way every time, every show. So we're very grateful to have her with us. And usually a couple of the kids will come back from the year before. We got the same thing this year. One of the kids was in the cast last year, has come back this year. And
they tend to grow up, though, a little bit, don't they?
They do. They don't last, you know, usually it's just they start 1 year, they come back the next year. But we always lose kids because, you know, they do change. Their voices change. They change physically. And we have to keep the kids looking a certain way, you know, so. And they're wonderful. The complement of children that we have this year are so talented, so fun, so full of energy, and they really do a great job with the show.
So you know who they say never to work with, right?
They do, kids and animals.
Yeah.
And we have both those.
You're doing both.
But I'm happy to be upstaged by the children. They're really the stars of the show. And the dogs get a huge round of applause at the night. People just go crazy when they make their appearance on stage. You know, it's wonderful.
Awesome. Now you do a lot of musicals. Is that primarily what you do?
Well, I studied it in college, so I have a degree in it, and those tend to be where most of my opportunities lie. But if other opportunities come along, say in television or film or voiceover or anything like that, I would happily throw my skills into that ring and give it a try. You know,
yeah.
So. Sometimes things like that do happen.
And straight plays, I would assume that would be.
Yeah, yes. And non-musicals as well, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you have a favorite musical? And you don't have to say Christmas Story for now.
Well, I do because I met my wife on it. We have three kids now.
Oh, mazel tov.
Years ago, we did 1776 together, and we've been together ever since, she and I, and we have three wonderful children. So,
and did you play Jefferson, and did she play...
Well, I'd have to have the height to play Jefferson. He's usually cast 6'4", and I'm about 5'8", so I played John Adams.
Ah, well, that's a better role. People tell you to sit down.
Yeah, that's right. They do. He's obnoxious and just fine.
That's true. We're really looking forward to having you guys here, and you're playing the Long Center, which is our newest theater, actually large modern theater here. It's part of an arts complex here, so I think you'll enjoy that stage quite a bit.
Oh, looking forward to that, yes.
And I know that you will enjoy Austin as well. So tell people so you're coming after Christmas. Why do folks want to come and see this show between Christmas and New Year's?
Well, I think there's still a lot of the holiday spirit left. I mean, the first year we did this, we went into January, and that didn't go over real well. But people are still wanting to, you know, hang on to that Christmas feeling, I think, in the week right after Christmas and between New Year's. So I still think we get some people that are full of spirit and joy and want to come out and have a good time for a live theatrical event. It's a wonderful evening at the theater, and you know, they're going to be really well entertained.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Did you see the live version last week?
I have seen bits and pieces of it because we had a show that night that it aired, and you know, people are trying to figure out how can we watch it. What do we have to do? There's an app you have to get, or this, that, the other thing. You can watch bits and pieces of it on YouTube. You know, so that's kind of what I've done so far. But I'll finish watching it. And from what I've seen so far, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, they did it. They did
a
pretty good job.
It's a different animal than what we do, but it's still wonderful.
It's true. Well, Chris Karsten, we are looking so forward to having you here, and thank you so much for joining us on Offstage and on the Air.
Thank you very much. It's such a pleasure to be on your show, and looking forward to coming to Austin.
Right, looking forward to having you here. Bye bye.
Yep. Bye.
That was Chris Karsten. He plays Gene Shepherd in the touring production of A Christmas Story, the musical, playing at the Long Center from December 29th through December 31st. For more information, you may visit thelongcenter.org. Okay, we just have time to say goodbye. Oh, I'm going to turn your microphone on. Say that again.
Ciao.
Susie, it was great to have you here.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So guess what? We're going to see each other next year.
I know, kind of freaky.
It is very, very freaky. So everybody knows everything that's going on.
Offstageonair.com.
Offstageonair.com. And Austin Modern News is next. So we will be back next year when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And this is a little thing from Holiday Inn, which I also watched over the weekend.
Oh.
So here it is.
Start the new year right, 12 o'clock tonight, when they dim the light, let's begin, kissing the old year out, kissing the new year in, let's watch the old year die with a
The curtain just came down on testing 1, 2, 3, the musical. The story of a sound man searching for love in the big city of Lawrenceville, Texas.
He's trying to take back 5, 6, 7, 8 from the dancers.
Can't. Dancers took it first. 5, 6, 7, 8. So here we are backstage. It's just Nicole and me sitting backstage. We've been abandoned by all of our friends here at the theater. So we are by ourselves next to the dumpsters.
We're protesting.
We have, now that we're here alone, we have conveniently not stepped in the puddles of unnamed liquid because we know the secret places.
I know. It's kind of cool,
we
right?
We know the secret places. But this is kind of fun, just you and me here. So I thought we'd just take some time to talk about each other.
What would you like to talk about?
I don't know. So I want to talk about your Christmas traditions. So I know you do the Feast of the Seven Fishes, but what other Christmas traditions do you and your family have that we don't know anything about? New Year's traditions, which is coming up.
We do both. Everybody always does. I've noticed that everybody always does their stockings different. We don't do our stockings till after we eat Christmas dinner on the 25th. Like, we do it after we've had our figgy pudding. We always do plum pudding. We have to light the plum pudding, figgy pudding on fire with the hard sauce or brandy butter.
Okay, so that I don't bore our listeners, does everybody know what figgy pudding is? Because I don't.
Plum pudding, figgy pudding.
Never heard of it. I mean, I've heard it because it's in a poem.
It's in songs.
But
and
I thought it was just one of those old English things. Like
no, it's
like
actually
Ebenezer Scrooge.
No, and it's funny because you can either get really good plum pudding or really nasty plum pudding, and depending on the hard sauce or brandy butter makes it good or not.
Right.
It you have to cure it. It takes almost a year to make it. So we order it from this fabulous tea shop in Seattle that gets the English one that I like. But it's actually really interesting. It's made of like raisins and spices, and it's yummy.
Well, I've learned so much today. Earlier today, I was given a little bit of mincemeat pie, which I've never had. I knew it wasn't actually meat, but I didn't realize what it was. It's super duper sweet.
It's very. I was about to say, were you surprised by the sweet and raisin of it all?
Well, I was warned that it was raisiny. So I was ready for that, but it was a little tiny, it's like tart size, even smaller than tart. It's the cutest little thing I've ever seen.
I was supposed to say, where did you get this baby mincemeat?
Right here, Cynthia McFarland here at Co-op Radio. But I couldn't eat more than one of these, and it was pretty small.
Well,
it was pretty dang sweet.
Speaking of raisins, I learned the greatest holiday tip for everyone. I'm going to share this.
Okay, we have holiday tip number one.
Holiday tip number one. So should you have a bubbly, a Prosecco, or a champagne that you have left open or has gone flat, a raisin in the bottle will bring all the bubbles right back. I know, it's fascinating, isn't it?
And also, here's another tip.
This is so cool.
You can take a raisin
and put it in the sun.
And put it in the sun, and you will win a Tony Award.
Do you find that interesting that a raisin will put the bubbles back into the?
I am suspect of this. I would have to.
Oh,
did you try
it? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I didn't believe it. I thought they were conning me on TV.
Because I don't. I'm not a scientist, but I'm not quite sure I see the science behind it.
I don't know.
Could
why.
Be magic.
No, there's a science behind it, but no, because I actually thought it was all a joke when I saw it on TV and I laughed. And then I didn't put the stopper in the Prosecco bottle, and I went to have another glass and I went, oh, I wonder if this works. And I tried it and I went,
it was totally flat.
Yes, totally flat.
Interesting. Well, so
I'll be darned if that didn't work, that little trick.
Okay, so back to your tradition. So you do figgy pudding.
Do figgy pudding.
So you're not, so you
that's
do,
on the 25th. That
you
we do all that.
You do. The Feast of the Fishes, which is on the 24th, and then you do another big dinner on the 25th.
Correct.
That's crazy.
I'll tell you, the 24th is really our big pinnacle. I think it's way bigger than the 25th and the gifts and the dinner and the stockings. The 24th is our really big. The Feast of the Seven Fishes is our thing. The
okay.
big, voila, the culmination of the...
The big what? Do you have any theatrical traditions around the holiday times?
There was a time that Aunt Mimi used to play on the piano and try to make us all sing, and I never wanted to sing. And my cousins every year would write in a card and give it to her on Christmas Eve that, for Christmas, Nikki's going to sing for you. And so then she'd be like, oh, Nikki! And I'd be like, no, Nikki's not going to sing for you.
I'm surprised. Why wouldn't you want to sing? You're a little performer.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that all of my family. I don't know why.
Would she play show tunes, standards?
Everything.
Yeah,
she loves show tunes. She loves standards. She loves Christmas. You name it, she'd want it. Yeah.
Well,
so there was a tradition of them making jokes on me every year.
Well, oh, wait, hold on. I think somebody's coming out of the stage door.
Who's that? Oh,
that was such
poor Christmas.
He was such a great talk. I was so glad that he stopped
how
by
did
here.
You, did you
Why
tell
does
him where
it sound
we were?
Like he's talking through a telephone line? It's so
I don't
strange.
Know, but how did he know where we were?
He must have somebody.
Because it's the future.
Joe the doorman must have pointed him the direction.
It's the future, Lisa.
It's the future. Well, that's great. Well, thank you for coming backstage with us. What do you want to?
I want to know about any holiday traditions.
I have
with
no
your
holiday.
Family. You never had any growing up with your family.
No.
You guys never did anything.
No, my parents worked
special on
the,
Hanukkah or anything.
No, we didn't celebrate Hanukkah.
And what about New Year's?
We did. No.
Did you watch the ball drop in New York and consider in Texas? It's interesting to find half the people really think New Year's is it 12 o'clock in their time, but some people will be like, no, New Year's is at 11 p.m. when it hits the ball drops in New York. What's your theory on that?
I've never heard that before.
Oh, well, okay. If you had to pick a theory now, what would it be?
My theory is that. I think Texans are smarter than that. And I think that they know when midnight is.
Right, but what do you consider your New Year's? I'm saying they consider their New Year's at 11.
Is at midnight wherever you are.
Okay.
Wherever you are. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But no, I have no traditions. Nothing. Zero. My family, we were in
New
retail.
New Year's is not my favorite holiday.
No. Now, my parents used to have a party at their house.
Oh.
And I was not invited, but when I would come back.
Were you shunned in the dumpsters?
I was shunned in the dumpsters. And I would come back at the end of the party and steal booze.
Oh,
because we
naughty,
knew that they wouldn't miss it. That was the one tradition I had. I was a little bad.
So you've
kid.
Had Bon Jovi as your theme song your whole life. You've been living on the edge the whole time.
I have. And there we go. We'll go out with little Bon Jovi. Nicole, you have a correction, don't you?
I do. As I was keep saying Bon Jovi, living on the edge, I looked at you and I'm like, I don't think that's Bon Jovi. No, it's Aerosmith.
It's Aerosmith.
Yeah, sorry.
So thanks for a good year. And I'm going to thank Nick Mayo for a good year as well.
All right.
We'll see you in 2018.
Where's the mayo? We had to hold it.
We're holding the mayo.
We'll bring it back in 2018.
Bye, everybody.